Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, there was a judge in a certain town who feared neither God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, render a just decision for me against my adversary. For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually thought, well, it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her lest she finally come and strike me. The Lord said, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The question Jesus asks at the end of today's Gospel is a question we should keep before us. It's, I think, the most poignant question Jesus asks throughout the entire Gospel. And it's a question to which we can't presume an answer, because Jesus wasn't making this question rhetorically. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? He wants to find faith, but will he? There are a few aspects of this that we have to take seriously. The first is the way we're called to live our faith in our prayer. He gave us a parable today about the need for us to pray always without becoming weary. Not about the invitation we have to pray always without wearying, but the absolute necessity we have to pray always without losing heart. And then the parable that he uses is about this widow before an unjust judge. A widow without a son had no protector in the ancient world. She was totally helpless. Nobody to intercede, nobody to beat up the dishonest judge if he's not rendering justice. And here was a guy who was corrupt. That word means corrupt. She didn't have any money with which to bribe him. She had no resources whatsoever. And so she was persevering and trying to get justice against someone who was persecuting her, someone who was ripping her off. And the dishonest judge didn't want to bat an eyelash for this old widow. But eventually she just kept persevering, such that because he was being so bothered, he said, finally I'll cave in just to get rid of her. Now, God's not a dishonest judge. If a dishonest judge responded to persistent prayer on the part of this widow, Jesus is contrasting. If a dishonest judge would eventually give in, how much more will an honest, loving, provident Father, when his sons and daughters persevere knocking on the door of his heart? But do we pray that way? Last December, Pope Francis gave a homily in the Vatican in which he was asking this very question about, do we pray with perseverance? And he said, Jesus gives us the green light here to bother God. He wants us to pray in such a way that God can't resist because of our fidelity. He gave the example, which is absolutely true, when Jesus says, knock on the door. How long is it going to take until you're absolutely being driven crazy by my knocking? If somebody's knocking on your door of your house or ringing your doorbell, how long is it going to take for you to say, basta? Wacko people who call on Sunday afternoon over and over and over again when a priest, having four masses, just wants to take a nap. Eventually you just have to pick up the phone and say, what is wrong with you? Are you bugged yet? Are you bothered yet? God wants us to pray like that. But do we? Pope Francis is constantly asking, do we hurl up a few courteous prayers to God? And then just say, well, obviously he's not listening, or obviously he doesn't care, or obviously he says no. Why, if God already knows what we need before we ask, does he want us to pray perseveringly? Does he want to ask us, does he want us to ask sometimes 10 times or 100 or 1,000 times for something he already knows we need? The answer to that question is so that we can learn how to persevere in life. If we can't persevere in our prayer, there's zero chance we're going to persevere in the Christian life. And he trains us through persevering prayer how to remain faithful in action. But will he find us persevering in prayer? In the first reading today, we see from the third letter of St. John, a very important phrase based on a very important action about the way we're supposed to persevere as Christians. He's praising the church to whom he was writing this letter for being perseveringly faithful in all they were doing for their brothers and sisters, especially for strangers, because they've testified about this persevering love, that they were being helped in a way worthy of God to continue their journey. And he said, therefore, we all should support such persons so that they may be co-workers in the truth. A definition for the church is to be co-workers in the truth. Pope Benedict took this as his motto as a bishop, cooperatores in veritate. But do we persevere in this work of charity, helping others to persevere in their pilgrimage toward the celestial Jerusalem? This is the task for the church. But do we say, I already gave a little, therefore I'm off? Or do we persevere in that charity? Do we say, when I was younger, I used to be involved in all of these other types of things, but now I've gone into retirement from persevering charity? Or do we continue all the way to the end? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in us? Faith, as St. Paul would say in his letter to the Galatians, working through love. Faith working together, cooperatate, in love. And the third thing I want to talk about today is the feast of St. Albert the Great, one of the greatest minds the church has ever had, the teacher of St. Thomas Aquinas, a doctor of the church in his own right. He was the son of a noble couple in Germany, but eventually he became a member of the mendicant order, the Dominicans. We've had the Dominicans for 800 years. And so we've lost a little bit of what it was like for a rich family to have a son enter a begging order with no money whatsoever at its start. A lot of these noble families would easily have had their son at a nice, rich, beneficed parish. They would have taken a vocation to the Benedictines, which had already been established for 700 years, because the Benedictines at least had food every night. But for a noble family to have a son go out into one of these begging orders, needing to go out into the city and beg for food, was unheard of and almost scandalous, and no parent wanted it. But Albert joined the Dominicans after meeting him at the University of Padova, where he had gone to study. But early, because of the pressure of his parents, as well as because of the difficulty he had in some of his studies, he was thinking about throwing in the towel. But he received some help by the Lord to just persevere in those studies. And he never stopped persevering. And he became so learned, not just about theology and philosophy, but about science. He's the patron saint of natural scientists, because in the 38 volumes of his writings published after his death, so many were about the natural sciences. He's really the father of biology, the study of biology in a modern sense. He was the father of botany. He was the father of physics in so many ways during the Middle Ages. He just continued to persevere in seeking the truth and in writing it down so that others would be able to join him seeking the truth as well. So we can make the application, when the Son of Man comes, will he find us persevering at least in studying our faith better? Will he find us persevering in trying to get to know his holy word better? We don't have to learn all the subjects. We don't have to have a doctorate, which would have been his equivalent, in 8 or 9 different subjects. But will he find in us that persevering hunger for the truth that leads us to continue to study? Again, this question of Jesus is not a rhetorical one. It's a real one. It was a real question he had, whether if he were to come right now, he would find each of us truly seeking him in our prayer, in our charity, and in our study. There were other occasions in which Jesus was asked about big picture questions. For example, how many will be saved? And he didn't respond with a number. He responded with a means. He said, you strive to enter through the narrow gate. He wasn't going to be answering the question of curiosity. Likewise here, if Jesus would have been asked this question, I don't think Jesus would have answered it with yes or no. Jesus would have said to each of us, when I come back, if I were to come for you today or tomorrow or in 5 or 10 or 40 or 80 years, will I find this persevering faith in you? Let us, through the intercession of St. Albert, ask for the grace to persevere like this importune woman in praying without ceasing or losing heart, in studying the truth so that we might know it, live it, and pass it on, and in persevering in the fruit of faith, which is charity, because it's a world still very much in need, a world filled with widows like today's gospel. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.